Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Glenn Lutyens, on surviving the holidays while grieving from loss.
Recognizing that the expectation many times is related to the fact that if we lost a loved one, we probably have had some memories of this holiday season, Christmas or Thanksgiving. We have some memories of that individual, so that's going to make it even more challenging, especially if we're talking about the first year after someone has died.
Glenn Lutyens, next. While the holidays are meant to be joyful times, the loss of a loved one and the grieving which follows can make the season quite difficult. Glenn Lutyens, a licensed marriage and family therapist with focus on the family, is here to help. In the upcoming conversation, he'll provide practical tips and action steps to assist grieving individuals and couples. Glenn, of course, the first kind of loss that occurs to us is losing someone through death. What are some other kinds of loss that come to mind?
Sometimes it can be loss of a dream. It may be loss of a marriage, divorce. It could be the death of a pet. Sometimes we think of that as just being totally different, and yet some of the same emotions can be there. But anything where there has been a desire, a relationship of any manner, and now for some reason that's gone. It could be a move. So we've moved away from people that we're connected to, but there's just an absence now that had been filled before.
So a person realizes, somebody listening to this realizes that they are grieving from some kind of significant loss, one of the ones most likely that you've just listed for us there. What then? What do they do?
I think probably the most important thing is realize how important it is. It's not like trying to play dodgeball where you're trying to avoid the emotions. You really want to recognize that if I don't address my grief constructively, it's likely to be counterproductive. In other words, if I don't control grief, grief is likely to control me. And so we can take proactive steps. We can see the importance of leaning into it. It's recognizing that there are some things that I am avoiding that are going to be counterproductive, and I'm leaning into it. I'm dealing honestly with it. I'm often reminded of the words of Jesus in Matthew 5:4, where Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." And if we think about when Jesus said that, we're talking about 2,000 years ago, where it's really been in the last maybe 20 years, 30 years or so, where in the modern field of psychology, where we've recognized how important it is to address tragedy, trauma, pain in our lives.
Now, when you say, Glenn, address the grief or lean into it, what do you mean? What does that look like?
It means that I'm not going to be running from it. I'm going to be running towards it. Mm. And I'm going to probably, I think, a constructive way of doing it, especially during a holiday season, is to say, I'm going to set aside certain times. I kind of call them containers. But I'm going to set aside certain times where I know I'm going to, my task at hand, my job at that moment, so to speak, is to deal honestly with whatever the loss has been. So I'm not waiting until it comes and it catches me. I'm being deliberate. I'm setting aside time. Now, how much time? That can vary from person to person. How frequent? That can vary as well. But in fact, you can make adjustments along the way. You might set aside, 30 minutes twice a week or 30 minutes each day. I mean, it can vary, but you're setting it aside. And during that time, you're going to be focused in on what your loss is. Because so often we try to avoid that. Nobody wants to touch the stove again, so we run from it as fast as we can. But if we recognize that I need to deal with it, and I'm going to face it, I'm going to make that choice to lean into it honestly, that's going to be a great advantage.
And certainly, during the holidays, there's always some kind of expectations. And when you're dealing with something like grief, I would imagine those two collide, the expectations and the reality of the grief. So how do you manage expectations during the holidays, during a time of grief like this?
Recognizing that the expectation many times is related to the fact that if we lost a loved one, we probably have had some memories of this holiday season, Christmas or Thanksgiving. We have some memories of that individual. So that's going to make it even more challenging, especially if we're talking about the first year after someone has died. And so now this is the first go-round of Christmas without that individual. So that's going to be just that recognition that, yeah, this is going to be additionally painful. I can lean into it, but the other important thing, and this I think has a lot to do with expectations, is I can lean away from it at times too. The very fact that I'm setting aside time is, it's not just waiting until the emotions kind of overwhelm me and then I'm just kind of a victim of what I'm feeling. I'm taking responsibility for my feelings, and so I can also lean away from it. Leaning away from it doesn't mean, okay, it's done, it's in the rearview mirror. It just means now the task at hand is whatever it may be. If it's spending time with family, if it's spending time with friends, if it's service, reaching out to other people, I'm recognizing that I do have my container times, but right now the task at hand is to celebrate this particular day. And it may be that as I'm reflecting upon that, that I have this time, that it's just going to be meaningful for me to lean into it. Now, maybe people are going to ask and say, hey, how are you doing with the death of your loved one? And it gives me opportunity to do two things. One is to be honest about the way it feels. So not ignoring that, not, you know, especially if people just say, hey, how are you doing? It'd be easy to not say anything about the death of a loved one, or what, again, whatever the loss may be, but acknowledge it, but then also identify a truth or two or three that we're focusing in on. I love the passage in Lamentations, Lamentations 3, 16 through 24. The scenario was this. Jeremiah, who's understood to be the author of Lamentations, is standing over the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem had just been defeated by the Babylonians, so we're talking about a war zone. Cries of people dying, fires, just kind of all kinds of mayhem. And Jeremiah, in verse 16, is just honest with what he's feeling, and especially how he's feeling towards God. So in verse 16, he says, he has made my teeth grind on gravel. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, gone is my hope and my glory. He actually goes on for another couple verses. And then the very next verse is, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Great is thy faithfulness. So he was making a choice in verse 21 to choose to look at, okay, what's true beyond my pain? So as we talk with people, we can be honest with the pain, but if we can also identify something that's true beyond my pain, I think that's helpful for ourselves, but it's also helpful for them.
Well, my guest today on His People is Mr. Glenn Lutyens. He is a licensed marriage and family therapist with focus on the family. And today we're talking about how to survive the holidays while grieving from loss. And Glenn, you're being obviously extremely helpful with the scripture and with practical thoughts as well. And it seemed like in recent years, I've heard talk about the role of lament, where people have some sort of, it could be the loss of someone through death or so many other kinds of things going on around them. The loss of a job or whatever it may be. Can you talk about that? Is that a valid approach when dealing with grief, that of lament?
I think it is, because at that point, we're being deliberate with it. We're being honest with it. We're not avoiding it. We're recognizing that it's a normal part of life and the normal part of a fallen world where there's going to be pain. And I have a choice of what I do with it. If I bury it, it will likely, and sometimes I use this analogy, it's like trying to hold a beach ball underwater. It's pretty exhausting.
Yeah.
And eventually it's going to pop up and likely the beach ball will hit me in the face. So if I can recognize that I'm going to take the steps to deal with it in an honest fashion, I have a greater capacity to address it in a constructive way.
And speaking of those constructive ways, I want to get right to them, but there are obviously some ways, some methods for coping that aren't healthy. We can think of what those are, overeating, overdrinking, etc. How do you avoid those?
I think an important part is not to respond rashly. It's real easy to say, okay, I'm feeling this emotion. I don't want to feel this. What's going to stop it? And then just kind of use that as a numbing agent. If we make decisions, which obviously we still will have to do, I think it can be helpful maybe even to write down, okay, here's what a decision is. Wait 24 hours. If it's out of the norm of our everyday life, wait 24 hours. Is that still a good decision or not? Because sometimes it may not even be something that we would see within that arena of something that's sinful. It may just be a decision I'm making very quickly, buying something. And if I make it in a rash way, it may be just a reaction as opposed to a response.
Okay, no, that's good thoughts. And just a kind of another aspect to underscore here, and that is, of course, this is a joyful time for many people, Thanksgiving, Christmas, remembering the birth of Jesus and all that that meant for us and for our salvation. And yet, the reality is as well, and a lot of it's because of loss that people have experienced, is a difficult, a hard time for many people too, right?
Right. Absolutely. And both can be, we can give credence to both. We can be honest with the hurt, but we can also look at, okay, what is this season for? What is it really about? Yeah, it's enjoyable to be with family and friends and gifts and good meals and all that. But the real reason is Jesus, the one who came and overcame death.
Well, I'm wondering, can you give us some suggestions? And you have already, but and you've touched on the scriptures and however you might want to continue to unfold that. But suggestions for finding hope and comfort at this time in the midst of grieving.
I think a big part of it is, and I kind of alluded to this, as far as leaning into the grief, but then also leaning away from the grief. Mm. Because if you have capacity to control the grief, it's not where it's controlling you. And so leaning away from it is just as important. I do think a lot of times for people where depression is likely to set in is when they're simply in a mindset of just what that pain is. They're not taking a break from the pain. And so physiologically, the chemicals that are taking place, or the chemicals that are not being released, the importance of serotonin. And when there's a low level of serotonin, that can add to depression. And so recognizing, okay, I'm going to enter into life at this time. I'm not going to let my circumstance simply control me. Maybe a visual way of seeing that, Bill, is thinking of if I had a piece of paper in front of me and I was looking at that piece of paper, and let's say I put a circle and I put the letter G in it. And I'm looking at it really close up, and I'm seeing that G, and that G is representing grief. But if I move that paper away and I realize that there's some other circles, there's family, there's friends, there's Jesus Christ, there are all these other circles that now, yes, the grief is still there, but I'm seeing it in the context of the larger picture of these other aspects that are really important in my life. I do think one key way that people can deal with the grief part constructively is to use writing, to use journaling, to be able to kind of give a timestamp to, here's where I am, here's what's going on in my heart right now. And we can challenge ourselves in doing that with those two things I mentioned before. One is, what is the pain I'm going through? And what is the truth beyond the pain that I'm still holding on to, even though the pain is there?
And in terms of scripture, would you direct us any particular way? I mean, it seems like typically I hear of people or counselors, pastors recommending the Psalms because of so much lamentation and people dealing with difficulty.
Yeah. Yeah. David and other psalmists are pretty open and honest about what's going on inside their hearts and being able to do that. But often throughout the Psalms, there's kind of a shift to, this is what I'm going to focus in on. There's a very short verse in the New Testament. I probably can't even give you the exact location. I think it's 2 Corinthians 6, but I may be wrong on that. But it's just a very few words. And it's sorrowful, but always rejoicing.
Mm.
And I think that gets to the fact that both are present at the same time. It doesn't mean I have to totally eliminate one or the other, but both can be present. I can move back and forth. I can focus in on the grief, but I can also focus in on what's true beyond it.
And in terms of prayer, the scripture tells us to, you know, to draw near to God and he'll draw near to us, etc.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that honesty with just what I am feeling. Sometimes we try to dress it up, Sometimes we try to look at it from a different vantage point. And I think if we're honest with the way it feels, then, you know, just being able to accept it. I love the analogy of dealing with a cavity, because I've spent more time in a dentist chair in my life than I would like. I was just there last week for a cavity replacement. But when I'm dealing with a cavity, or when a dentist is dealing with a cavity, there are basically two steps. You drill and then you fill. You drill out the decay and then you fill it with good enamel. Now, the two mistakes that can be made, one is if they drill, but they don't drill long enough. They get 80, 90, 99% of the decay out. Eventually, the tooth will rot from the inside out. The other mistake that can be made is if they drill too long and then there's no tooth to fill. And so just that capacity to really be honest with it and to be honest with the Lord, who knows what we're feeling even before we say it, but just that transparency, that honesty, that connection with a God who cares about my deepest sorrows, my deepest heartaches, but also has created a world full of truth for us to focus in on as well.
And reaching out to others, Glenn, in terms of whatever that might be. I mean, there's many different contexts for that. Can you talk about that, some of the options there?
Yeah, I really appreciate the fact, Bill, that you mentioned that, because I think a lot of times, let's say it's the death of a loved one. A lot of times at a memorial service or a funeral service, people will come up to the individual, if it's a widow or just a person who's lost the loved one, and they'll say, hey, if there's anything I can do, let me know. They may not be real specific, okay?
Right.
And it'd be nice if they were, but that's okay. If they say, hey, if there's anything I can do, let me know. When you're feeling lonely, when you need somebody just to reach out to, do it. Because it'll also challenge us to really be able to do that two-step approach of really being honest with the way it feels, but then challenging ourselves with the truth. Because if we're around other people, if we only are focusing in on the pain part, and we don't challenge ourselves with being able to say something at least that's true beyond the pain, it becomes uncomfortable for people. So they may be more inclined to ignore or avoid us. The other piece of it is, it's very easy when we're dealing with pain is to kind of become egocentric, to see it solely from our vantage point. But if I can look at it from the vantage point of God is allowing me to go through this so that I can, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 talks about comforting others with the comfort we have received ourselves. So if I'm realizing maybe from someone who has been in a support group like Grief Share, and maybe I just need to reach out to them, that can be a really meaningful thing, not only for the other person, but for ourselves as well.
Right, I've heard very good things about Grief Share.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just that avenue. Another avenue that people can pursue, they can reach out to us, 1-800, the letter A, and then family. And they can speak with a counselor or pastoral counselor. What we'll do is we'll call them back, usually within 2 days, and speak with them. It's a consultation, one-time consultation, but we'd be happy to do that. We can direct them towards some resources that might be helpful as they face whatever grief they're dealing with.
So that's 1-800-A-FAMILY to reach Focus on the Family, to reach a counselor at Focus on the Family. And I'm wondering, in terms of church, Glenn, obviously going through a difficult time like we're discussing, the inclination, of course, is to draw back or to think, oh, I'll get to that another time, which is completely understandable. But are there some reasons to consider maybe being in a community of believers during this time?
Yes, I think the natural tendency is isolation. You know, we're feeling down, we're feeling some sadness. We don't want it to have a negative impact on other people, so we're going to kind of just stay by ourselves. And I'm not against a person taking some time. If I always have to be around people, that may be a different issue. But you know, if I'm not giving myself the opportunity, if I'm not challenging myself to reach out to others, that can be problematic.
So you're saying the role of church is something to really consider?
Yeah, it's the body of believers and recognizing that they have something for me. Now, sometimes individuals, let's say, who have been servants in the church, they're the one, you know, if a committee needs somebody to be a member of, they're the first one with their hands raised. But now they're in a position of need. And so to be able to receive from others, as we have maybe had a tendency to reach out to others ourselves. Now we need them to reach out to us, and that's a good thing.
Well, we are talking about how to survive the holidays while grieving from loss with Glenn Lutyens. He is a licensed marriage and family therapist. He's with Focus on the Family. Any thoughts, Glenn, or suggestions on honoring or remembering a loved one who's no longer here?
I think a part of it can be that we reflect upon, okay, what are the traditions that we've had in the past? What are the ones that we want to keep? Are there any traditions we want to change that we don't want to keep? And sometimes it may just be, I'm going to keep it, but not right now because it may be too painful. So people have that option. But when it comes to, you know, what traditions do I want moving forward? What are maybe some of the benchmarks that I'm going to have that are evidence that I'm leaning into it? And it may be writing a letter to a loved one. You know, I'm not talking about where that's more of just kind of an emotional opportunity to kind of connect. I'm not saying that, you know, we're going to be able to communicate with a loved one who's died. But it just is that opportunity to connect with what my feelings are. There may be certain things that I'm going to do. Maybe it's reaching out to people at a time when it gets close to maybe the anniversary of a person's death, so that I'm going to do it. I remember hearing one time an individual who had, it was a husband and wife, they had a child who had died of AIDS. And so one of the things that they did was they went down to a hospital, and children who had AIDS, they cared for them, they volunteered their time. And so there can be things that are very meaningful and constructive as steps that we take in showing the Lord's love to others.
Mm. And you said something else in there too, I think, that if we know someone, maybe a friend who is going through something like this, to mention the loved one. I mean, I've heard that often, well, I haven't heard, but often people are inclined not to mention the person's name because they think it might be upsetting, and yet in reality, the person that lost a loved one loves, usually, to talk about them.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, there could be an isolated scenario where somebody is hurt by that, but generally speaking, people are longing to hear someone talk about it. And when we avoid because we don't want to cause pain, it usually misses the mark of where that person's heart really is.
You know, in terms of this, it seems like one thing that could easily be overlooked is that of, well, the sort of the trendy way to put it is self-care, but things like rest and relaxation or even recreation, that you don't have to always be thinking about it, but just do something just for the enjoyment of it.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And it is possible to misuse anything, even that scripture says. So, you know, a word that does have merit to it, which is self-care, but it can be overused. But it's really key to be able to say, I need to take care of myself. Well, I love the, you know, on a flight where they say, you know, should the cabin lose air pressure, first put an oxygen mask on yourself, then you'll be in a position to help someone else. If I'm not dealing well, if I'm sinking in my grief, I'm not going to be any good for anyone else. So caring for myself is really important.
And Glenn, I don't often ask this, but I'm wondering from the perspective of a counselor, have you experienced any of these things in your personal life?
My parents are both with the Lord, so, you know, when you think about it, a term we don't often use that way, you know, considering I'm in my late 60s, but I'm an orphan now. And, you know, they were there. My parents both love the Lord deeply. And giving ourselves the time, the chance to thank the Lord for them, giving ourselves the time to recognize how important they were. I mean, I had a mother who... I don't think there was a morning in my life that I came downstairs that she didn't have her Bible open and a commentary, or she was in prayer. She just had a deep love for the Lord. My dad loved the Lord as well. So just people that I'm thankful for, and to recognize them at those times is really key.
Mm. Well, Mr. Glenn Lutyens, my guest, a licensed marriage and family therapist. Well, Glenn, when do you recommend people might consider consulting, seeking professional guidance of some kind from a counselor like yourself or a pastor, someone that can speak into their situation?
I think if people have lost a loved one or there's some avenue of grief, reaching out for a one-time call can be very helpful because there are some of the resources that we can direct them toward. I would say as far as, let's say, longer-term counseling, First off, I think the grief share can be helpful pretty much for anyone.
Mm-hmm.
There are times where people have mentioned maybe they did the grief share and it was right after a loved one's death. And so they were just kind of, they were overwhelmed by the emotions. So they maybe have picked up part of what grief share was focusing in on, but maybe not the truth part of it as much, or steps that they could take. So even doing it more than once can be helpful. As far as counseling, I would say if, you know, they've done a grief share, but just having someone to come alongside them. A lot of times people, you know, to meet with their pastor, pastors are often happy to do that. They may not be able to do that in an ongoing way, but they're happy to do that. So I would say anytime we're recognizing that something is a glitch, or it may not even be a glitch, it's just realizing, hey, it would be helpful to have somebody who has done this before with people and in their own lives to be able to come alongside them and be blessed by what they have to offer.
Well, Glenn, any last thoughts on how to survive the holidays while grieving from loss, or books, podcasts you'd recommend, or any other kinds of practical thoughts?
Two books that people can pursue. One is called The Seasons of Our Grief. The Seasons of Our Grief by Dr. Ray Mitch, M-I-T-S-C-H. The other one is Grief Redeemed by Stephen Silver. Both of those are available through our 800A family number, and both deal with grief. But any resource, there are a lot of good resources out there. Grief Share has materials of their own that can be helpful. I just think that for a person to recognize how important it is to grieve, how key it is that if we don't deal with it now, it usually doesn't go away. And so at some point in life, it's going to come up and it's going to address us in some way. So I'd rather deal with it now in a constructive way than have it find me out at some later point in time.
You've been listening to His People on Pilgrim Radio. Many thanks to our guest, Glenn Lutyens, a licensed marriage and family therapist with focus on the family. Call 1-800-A-FAMILY. Tomorrow on His People, Paul Schlaelein with a biblical perspective on helping the poor.
So if the Lord has blessed you with a nice house, nice things, thank the Lord for that. He gives good things to His children. But then also know that we have a great responsibility to use those things in the right way. So make sure that you do so with a good conscience. Make sure that you're generous with the money that you have. Not only give sacrificially. And I would say specifically, give sacrificially to missions.
That's tomorrow at the same time right here on His People. Thanks for listening.